The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 for text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Now, yesterday we spoke to Gillian McNulty. You'll know Gillian. She suffers with cystic fibrosis and she campaigned a lot for Orkambi back in the day. She was on last year, and when she was on, she said she needed a kidney and she put out a call, which was, I thought, was very odd at the time. Anyway, she put out a call for somebody to offer a kidney to her, and she got offers. Seven strangers, and one of them was Sean. He's not a stranger anymore. And it looks like in the next few months, if everything works out and that Sean is a match, and there's a match of blood already, if there's a tissue match, that Sean could be giving Gillian a kidney sometime in the new year. Fingers crossed. Anyway, Gillian was on yesterday with Sean, and she's up in Vincent's today, and she just tweeted there that a nurse who she didn't know came over and said to her, "I heard you on the radio yesterday, and all the nurse's family signed donor cards last night after listening to the show." So that's good. We're doing something right. We're doing something right. And you know, of course, and I'll say this one last time for this year, that you have to have the chat. Because even if you have a donor card, and even if you have that little number on your driver's license to indicate that you want to donate your organs, it doesn't matter. It matters for nothing. Unless you've had that chat with your family, because they ultimately will make the decision whether your organs are donated or not. I know it involves a huge tragedy for the family, but it's good to have a chat just now when there's no tragedy, so everybody knows where you lie on those, what your opinion on that is. I'm a Celebrity. It's getting huge viewership. I see that 650,000 people watched it on Sunday night. Not much else to watch, but we're all interested, particularly to see who's in it. There's loads of rumours, and then we saw the cast, and two Irish people, not one but two, Andrew Maxwell and Nadine Coyle. And Andrew Maxwell, he's a gas man. Well, he would be, he's a comedian. But he was on the TV show at the end of October, and we were chatting away, and there wasn't a pip out of him. He didn't say anything. You know, I suppose they have to sign some sort of a secrecy contract that they don't divulge that they're going to be in the jungle. But he didn't mention it at all. And there he is. Came as a bit of a surprise to me. But I can see why they put him in, because he's been making a name for himself in the UK talking about Brexit. And he's been rubbing people up, if you were looking at it from our point of view, the right way, but from their point of view, probably the wrong way. And he's telling them a few home truths about Ireland and the border and Brexit. And you can see why the producers would put him in, you know, to stir it up, because that's what they want to do. They want to stir it up. People are in there, they're out of their comfort zones, they're getting hungry, they can't sleep because of bugs and noises and all that sort of thing, and then they get a little bit irritable, and then they start talking about Brexit. And one person believes one thing and Andrew Maxwell believes something else, and then there's a bit of a row. I don't know, may not happen. That's what I'm intrigued by. And they were all watching it last night, and they were intrigued by the hairdos. And they were just wondering, if women are going in, do they get a 12-week blow dry? Do you know those things? They're sort of semi-permanent things. It's not a perm exactly. It's sort of a temporary perm, because perm is short for permanent, isn't it? So that's an oxymoron for you there, temporary perm. We don't know. And then isn't there something that you can't bring in, makeup? So they're all wondering what's going to happen over the next 3 weeks. They look considerably different. They always look considerably different at the end of it anyway, because, yeah, less makeup. They inevitably lose weight because they don't get fed that much. And then they're out in the open air and they're getting a bit of a tan. So they all look different. I would argue better at the end of it than when they go in. I'm hoping that Andrew Maxwell wins. You see, on his own admission, nobody knows him over there. Well, very few people know him over there. We'd know him a lot better over here from the panel and doing gigs around the country. And he admitted there on Sunday night that nobody knows who I am. He was the least known. And that sort of was shown when they had to pick teams and he was the last one standing. You remember that in the playground? And you'd be picking teams for football or whatever. And then if you were the last person up against the wall, and they sort of reluctantly had to take you because you were the last person. That was a bit what Andrew Maxwell was like the other night. And then he kept saying, "my love," to Kate, the lady from Breakfast Television. Anyway, on television, the RT Guide has a free calendar. Yes, a free calendar this week. Martin King is on the cover. And it's the RTE Weather Photo Competition Calendar 2020. It's odd that he's on the cover and he does weather elsewhere and it's an RTE Weather. Anyway, that's the way things work. So what they did was they asked people to send in pictures throughout the year. And then they've selected the best of them and put them into a calendar. And very nice. But something we noticed is that there is a county in this country that is disproportionately represented. Now, you can't have every one of the 32 counties. But you should have a geographical spread. One third of the photographs in the calendar are of the county of Kerry. Now, Kerry people would claim, well, why wouldn't it be, Ray? Aren't we a beautiful county? Very photogenic county. There on the cover there is Blennerville. That's a lovely picture by Annette O'Donoghue. And there's Trevor McCarthy. He's one of the Gap at Dunloe. And then there's Galway City by John Boyle. Castle Rock, County Derry. Powell Zygmunt took that picture. Martin Carroll from Ballinmore in Boris Nostry, County Laois. And then Nisha Kelly, Eden Derry Harbour. I never knew Eden Derry looked that pretty. It's lovely. Caroline Hines, and that's a great picture of Ben Bulbin, County Sligo. Billy Sweeney, Trim Castle. And there's Seamus Long back in the kingdom, Killarney, County Kerry. Catherine Bush, and that's... The colours around this time of the year, I've said it before, but there, Catherine Bush's picture of St. Anne's Park, Raheny, and there's all the browns and the golds and the slightly oranges and a little bit of green still left over from the summer. Lovely colours there. And then Dennis Green, West Kerry, County Kerry, and there are amazing colours in that as well because you have the evergreens and then the other ones are gone brown and orange. It's lovely picture there. So what's happening there? Of course, this is calendar time of the year, it would be, and there's lots of charity calendars. I was looking through them. That farmer one, it's out every year and it's back again. Scantily dressed farmers lying on bales of hay and people buy it. I don't know if it's for charity or not. The Aer Lingus charity calendar is out there supporting three charities. And they have some amazing photographs from over the decades. There's one there of Muhammad Ali getting off a plane in Dublin Airport. Nelson Mandela arriving in Arrivals. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Katie Taylor coming back from the Olympics. And that's a collection of those. And then there's a Heart Children one. And Donkey, the Donkey, listen to me, Claire Man. The Donkey Sanctuary one. They're down in Liscarroll in County Cork. And they have one as well. And Volkswagen, interestingly, they have one in aid of Temple Street. And they ran a competition, a bit like the RT Guide one, during the year. And people sent in their pictures of their Volkswagen cars and they put together 12 of the best ones. It's called their snapshot calendar and all the proceeds are going to Temple Street. There's more out there. I couldn't find any more, but I'm sure there are more out there. And if you have one, you wanted to send it in to us, we give it a plug between now and Christmas. There's a bit of controversy around one in the UK. It's the veterinary college there, the Royal Veterinary College in London. And I'm just looking at the picture here. It's in the Daily Mail. And there's a couple of young vets naked. And their privates are covered up by sheep's heads. I know. What were they thinking? They have the sheep in the tipping position. That's the position that the sheep's on his back and his back legs are out front and then they're holding the forelegs. And that's... Anyway, a lot of people who saw it weren't too pleased. So initially they were going to completely scrap the whole calendar, but later it was made clear that only the offending image would be removed. And the Royal Veterinary College published an open letter declaring it had told students their behaviour was inappropriate. So watch what you're doing when you're getting your picture taken for those charity calendars. Of course, with Christmas comes mince pies. I find this hard to believe. We have spent 383,000 on mince pies already this year. 383,000 euro on mince pies. And that works out that 6.5% of us have enjoyed nearly mince pie well ahead of the 25th of December. I haven't had one. I haven't had a mince pie yet. Have you? You know Marie Kondo? She's the lady from Japan who's encouraging us all to declutter. And she tells us to go through our wardrobes and our cupboards and look at something and if it doesn't spark joy, throw it out. That's what she says. Throw it out. Because clutter isn't good for yourself and it's not good for your mental health and all that sort of thing. And she's been hugely popular. She's done a Netflix series. She's had a number of books. And now she has an online shop, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. And you can buy a ladle. A ladle, yeah, a soup ladle, for €86. You can buy some leather room shoes, well, they'd be slippers, for €185, $206. The cheapest thing online, the Marie Kondo shop, is a ceramic chopstick holder. That'll set you back $720. You can buy a shiatsu stick for €9. A shiatsu stick. Yeah, I didn't know either. But it's the stick you use when you're doing shiatsu. It's made of cedar, like Japanese hinoki wood. It's made from hinoki wood. And when applied to strategic areas, you massage the strategic areas and it can help relieve bodily pressures and tensions without any external medicines. So that's your shiatsu stick. Around €9 for Marie Kondo. And you're thinking to yourself, she's told us to declutter and now we're going to buy stuff from... And it's a lovely website. Oh, it's a lovely, beautiful website. It does spark joy. And then you buy the stuff and then you have more clutter. And you're thinking, Mary, what have you got to save yourself? Ah, she has it covered, lads. She has it covered. Because on her homepage, there's a quote. The goal of tidying is to make room for meaningful objects. Now you see, now you understand. People and experiences. I can think of no greater happiness in life than being surrounded only by the things I love. So that's it. So now you declutter so you can get the stuff, the meaningful stuff from her website. That's the way it works. I'm glad I figured that one out. 51551 ray@rte.ie. This lady is coming to town, well, maybe Cork, next year. Good afternoon. Dana Ross, I'm coming out. And yeah, she's in the Marquee in Cork and the Royal Hospital Kilmainham in Dublin next June. That's a great tune, isn't it? Produced by Niall Rogers of Chic. And you can hear him all over there. I went to buy some mince pies to have for late Advent and Christmas time itself. But to my dismay, the best before date was December 13th, 2019. I was actually asking that question this morning. Do they go out of date very quickly? And Mary says, just heard the amount of money spent on mince pies so far this festive season. Well, it's not really the festive season yet. Not one cent or euro of mine has been spent on them. I hate the flavour and texture of them. So count me out, says Mary. Yeah, the fact that they're called mince pies always confused me as a kid. It's minced fruit, of course, but I assumed it was minced meat. And then I thought, why would you be eating a minced meat pie as dessert? And just got confused. And then adding cream to it and then there was sugar on top. All very confusing. 51551 ray@rte.ie. The OPW calendar is full of beautiful pictures of national monuments. It only costs €3 and it's available at OPW sites. That's George in Ashford. Thanks for that, George. We're here as a shop window for your charity calendar. 515 on RadRT.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551 for text. Now, it's hard to believe, but it's 30 years since Jason Donovan released 10 Good Reasons, which included hits like Too Many Broken Hearts, Sealed With a Kiss, and of course, Especially For You, his duet with Kylie Minogue. Well, Jason has given us a second chance to relive the double denim, the big hair and the pop beats as he brings even more good reasons to the road next November. That's this time next year. He's going to be in Dublin, Belfast and Limerick and he's on the line now. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good to talk to you again.
You're sounding good.
Thank you. You were mentioned in dispatches by Boris Johnson yesterday. Did you know that?
I did. Selling my CDs to North Korea. I don't know quite what to think of that, but I don't know. They obviously still live in an analog world.
Yes. Well, I'm just going to play it out for people because it brings you and Boris Johnson together, which is an odd combination.
Okay. Here we go.
With record in investments, record exports, tea to India. You know the story. Tea to India, cake to France. TV aerials to Korea, boomerangs to Australia. We export music around the world. Jason Donovan, they told me. We export the music of Jason Donovan to North Korea.
There you go.
Well, Ray, it's a look. I mean, you know, you're the only person that's picked up on this, so I certainly give you that. I don't quite know where that's going. Mm. I mean, it's been a while since I've had a CD out, and you know, I'm slightly worried that his researchers are a little bit behind the eight ball there a bit, because obviously streaming is the world we live in now. But thank you, Boris, for giving me the airtime.
Exactly.
I deserve it.
Think about it. The day before you announce your tour, he mentioned you at this huge, big business conference. And gets,
I know.
It's perfect. I think it's
big business, right? What yes. I do, the even more good reasons tour 2020 is big business.
Yeah. They're telling me now that they can't stream in North Korea, and maybe that's why your CDs are going over there.
Right, okay.
Anyway.
So still, there must be some sort of algorithm there that, you know, his research people have. Maybe they just saw me on Good Morning Britain and decided that that's a good name. We'll throw that into the speech.
How are you, apart from all that?
Yeah, it's been a busy day, mate. I've been doing lots of few interviews today.
Yes.
Dropped my daughter at school, mm-hmm. which is always good. You know, and I've got a busy day tomorrow. But you know, life is pretty good. I'm feeling fit. You know, I'm not drinking too much, and I'm looking after my weight. I turned 51 this year, and I know you're thinking, my God, he doesn't look 51. Some people say, God, Jason, you don't look a day over 50. And I say, well, thank you for that. Thank you very much. But I'm very excited about this show. So it's great to be speaking to you.
And singing all the old hits. Will we give them a blast of one of them? We will, of course, yes. There you are, still sounding fresh, 30 years on.
Wow. It's, you never know. Listen, Ray, music is magic. You know, I think it's the closest thing we have to, you know, magic. And I think nostalgia at the moment is massive. And I think, you know, through, you know, our phones and through, you know, the internet, we can look back really easily now. And, you know, for me, 1989 was a massive year, and there is a connection. There is a unique connection with an audience when you have a song like "Too Many Broken Hearts." As long as that audience is, you know, has, you know, open ears and is willing to connect, and you know, obviously Neighbours and the characters of Scott and Charlene and you know, that whole success of that show coupled with Stockache and Waterman almost was the perfect storm, and here we are 30 years sort of reliving a bit of that magic.
And your daughter, because I was talking to Denise Van Outen, name dropping, and she has a part in Neighbours, and she was saying to me that she was half-minding your daughter when she was over there.
Yes.
So what's the connection there?
Well, my daughter is a cast member of Neighbours, and she's doing a wonderful job. She's smashing it. She plays a character called Harlow Robinson, which is, I think, a distant relative of Scott Robinson. Denise plays Gemma's or Harlow's daughter, wife, sorry. No, mother. Jeez.
It's confusing.
It's been a long day. It's been a long day. And Denise and I go back a long way, because Denise was actually one of the child chaperones on Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat back at the Palladium in 1990. So, you know, I did text her, and, you know, before she went, and said, look, Gemma, you know, is out there on her own. She's 19 and, you know, she's doing well, but she struggles living away from home, I think, sometimes. And keep an eye out for her. And she was great. She's been great. So,
And your dad was in Neighbours as well. I didn't know that.
Ray, where have you been?
I know.
Doug Willis. My God, I'm a little concerned.
Sorry about that.
The blood pressure levels are low. You need some sugar.
Yes.
My dad played a character called Doug Willis, so it is a family affair. And I also had a sister, my mum, through my mum's second marriage, a girl called Stephanie McIntosh, who played Sky Mangle as well. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of... lot of connections with that show, and it's still going strong after 35 years. We must be doing something right.
How were you in yourself? Because you went through a rough period. You partied for the late 90s, did you?
Yeah. Well, look,
I read some quote that you went out in 1994 and came back in 2001 or something like that.
Something like that. I think it's been very well documented, that sort of period in my life, and I don't make any excuses and I don't try and avoid, questions about it. I've been very honest. I think the positive side of it is I now know what I don't want to do in my life.
Yes.
When you binge, like I was doing, particularly with drugs, you've got to want to change yourself. And, when I met my wife and my daughter came along in 2001, I was just one of the lucky ones that was sort of mentally strong enough to realize that this was the best time to, to change. And, not everyone's like that. In the back of my mind, always, I've had been very passionate about my work. I've always kept quite fit, physically fit. And I'm a real believer that mental fitness and, health go hand in hand. So I think there was going to come a point where that story, that sort of 90s story, was getting even boring for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The sad part of it is, when I look back, is I think I was trying to be cool. And do you know what I worked out? Yeah. There is no such thing as being cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to use a more explicit word on your show, but I won't. Yeah. Cool is about being yourself. Cool is not about trying to be accepted by other people. And that's the journey I've come on.
And Jason, do you worry for Gemma? Because she's in showbiz now and there will be temptations along the way.
I worry for all of my children. Of course there is temptations, and you'd be naive to think that at the points in life that those things will become difficult for even the strongest willed and the most educated. Look, we educate our kids, as I would hope, to make the right choices in life. What they do with their life is ultimately up to them. But my two eldest, very respectful kids. They're very, very passionate. They work hard, and there'll be bumps, but I'll be there for them. Definitely, yeah. Without question.
What's their opinion of you going back and touring an album from 30 years ago?
Oh, it's always embarrassing. Always. until the check comes through the door. It's always embarrassing until the check comes through the door and the will gets written out.
Yes,
and, That's when it all sort of changes. I think, there was a great moment when I told my kids that I was going to do Strictly back in 2011. The colour just, went from their faces until I started winning, Ray.
Yes.
And then it all changed.
You're in the Olympia Theatre on the 6th of November next year, just in case people are going a bit mad and saying, shouting at the radio going, the 6th of November is gone.
Yeah,
it's 6th of November 2020, Ulster Hall in Belfast on the 7th, and then the University Concert Hall in Limerick on the 8th. So that's 6th, 7th, 8th of November next year. Jason Donovan, and even more good reasons. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
You might pop in when you're around if you have time.
I'd love to, mate.
And mind yourself. Thanks, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we're joined in studio by Erica Folan and Pauline McKeown. Pauline is the CEO of Cool Mind Therapeutic Community. and they offer outreach and residential treatment programs to people who suffer with addiction. And Erica has suffered with addiction in the past, but she's a graduate of Cool Minds residential treatment program in Ashley House, which is Ireland's only residential rehabilitation centre for mothers and their children. And Cool Mine is hoping to open a second similar house to Ashley House somewhere on the west of Ireland, probably Limerick.
Limerick. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Both of you are very welcome.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
So we've established already that Ashley House is unique. Maybe you'll describe what you do in Ashley House, Pauline.
Sure, I will. Happy to. So I guess Cool Mine's a national addiction treatment service provider, and national because of the specialist services that we provide, working with travelling community members, prisoners, women, pregnant women, homeless people as well. And I guess most significantly, Cool Mine Ashley House is the only residential treatment centre in Ireland where a mother or a homeless pregnant lady can access treatment without having to put her children into care or some form of care. And
that's what makes it unique.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's hugely important.
Massively important, massively important. I guess what we would see is the women that we work with, and indeed some of the men that we work with, you know, there's complex needs there, criminal justice issues, homelessness, previous psychiatric issues, mental health well-being. But moreover, the clients that we work with, we're seeing 4 out of 5 would be coming from a family home where addiction, there has been a high level of addiction. So it is there in families, in the intergenerational families across Ireland.
What are the special needs of mothers with addiction? Apart from minding the children, but I suppose there's an understanding within the house, and they're surrounded by people who are in similar situations.
Yeah, and that's probably key and critical. First and foremost, for a woman homeless, impacted with addiction, there tends to be domestic violence, there tends to be abuse, there tends to have been issues in her past, trauma of many descriptions, indeed even homelessness itself. But certainly there would be varying levels of trauma. And the first thing that needs to happen is a place of safety. It is really as simple as that. A place of safety and a non-judgmental environment. And thereafter then, in terms of the treatment programme that's provided by Cool Mine, it is a therapeutic community. And Eric will maybe talk a little bit about what that means. But it's very much living in a small drug-free community, because there is an acceptance that, you know, it's not the drugs, it's not the individual, it's not even necessarily environment, but behaviour is led to increase in drug use. That then becomes out of control. So in the therapeutic community, we look to relearn behaviours, positive behaviours.
Okay. Erica, thanks for coming in. This is going to be difficult enough for you. I would imagine you have to revisit tough times in your life.
Yeah, it's well worth it, isn't it?
To get the message out
someone.
There. Yes, yeah. So what age were you when you started taking heroin?
I think I was about 26.
Right.
I'd been on it for about 5 years.
When you finally got off it?
When I finally got off it, yeah. Mm. 26 when I started.
Yeah. I am fascinated. I don't know if other people are fascinated by the first time somebody does heroin.
Yeah.
I suppose we're familiar with images in TV and on film.
Well, they're not like that at all.
No.
What happened to me is I was always the giver. Do you know, I was looking after family and that, and I had no problem with that. And then there was a death in the family. My cousin passed away. And it's like at that moment, I was with the wrong people, wrong crowd. And it was handed to me and I was told my worries would all disappear. And they did disappear when I was using it. It really did. You felt nothing. You didn't feel the pain. It was brilliant. At the time, you thought there was nothing like it. Like, oh my God, I can get over this. I can stop hurting. But wow, did it spiral very, very fast into a dark hole.
Right.
Do you know?
So it's like you're numbed, are you?
It's like this warm sensation over you. It's like nearly someone hugging you and everything's going to be okay, yet you're on your own doing it. Or you could be with people and it's just all your worries. There's nothing you can't conquer when you're on it. That's how it makes you feel.
And is it a social drug or is it an individual drug? You know,
it starts off social.
Right.
But it's that powerful. It's really like it's like a love-hate relationship, that you get so greedy that you just want it because you feel this sickness, and it's like, well, if I share with them, I won't get that little high anymore. Because you're constantly chasing it. It's never like the first time, that warm, fuzzy feeling. You have to go higher and higher, take more and more to even get the sensation. Because now you're chasing it, so you're not sick. So you're not getting cramps in your legs and all that. So
you're taking it to be normal, to feel normal.
To get up out of bed and be able to bring kids to school.
Right.
That you're not cranky.
And how quickly did it go from occasional to every day?
I think in the space of... I was taking it at the start, maybe twice a week. And after about 3 months, the obsession came on me. You know, that I need this. I was in my head thinking, telling myself, oh, you're sick. When I actually wasn't at that stage, but I needed it. I wanted it. It was the urge. It was like for someone that goes buying a new pair of shoes. Oh, I need them shoes. No, I need that drug. And you'll step over everything. You say you won't, you will do anything to get that drug.
Yeah. And of course... lying is a big part of being an addict, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time. You'll lie, you will do anything. You'll sell the jacket on your back. You will tell them anything they want to hear just so you can get that money, or that you're believed, I'm not an addict. Or that's people, sure, they're only talking about me. They've nothing else to talk about. They're jealous, something else. Yeah. You will come up with every lie. You become that much of a liar that you're lying to yourself in the end. It's crazy. It's just... such a downward spiral, and it gets out of control so fast that you don't recognise yourself.
That's what I was going to ask you. My next question is, you know, when you look back, what sort of version of Erica do you see when you look back in your memory?
I don't know who she was. Like, I genuinely don't know who that girl was. I was always outgoing, did anything for anyone. Do you know, always. I turned into this nasty, nasty person with myself. Like, you'd wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror and say, how did I turn out like this? And you're feeling sorry for yourself, yet you're still getting that drug. Mm. And when you had that drug, then you could put makeup on and say, oh, look, I look okay today. But you're hurting everyone, but you don't care. You don't see that. They could be crying in front of you and you're like, ah, look, you're all right. I'll make it up to
you
later.
Because you had two children.
Mm. A boy, Calum, and a little girl, Madison.
Right.
And...
How did you fund it? Is that a sticky question?
It's bad to say.
I know people out there want to know that, you know.
It's bad. It's really bad to say. I always thought because I bought my kids their runners and stuff first, I was entitled to the heroin afterwards. Children's allowance, your weekly money, travelling to Dublin to get a bigger amount, selling it
right.
So you'd have it. So, you know, it's dearer down home. Up here you could get something for a tenner. Down home, it's 25 and that's it.
And down home's Galway.
Down home's Galway. And you're not let off a penny. So you're making money.
So you'd get on the train.
Go to Dublin. Collect maybe an eighth more. Come back down, sell it. Because down home, a bag of it was €25.
Yeah. And you were aware then that you were breaking the law because you were dealing. Yeah. Now you're dealing.
Mm. Yeah. And now Galway's so small, remember. So... maybe there's only 3 people dealing. Oh, Erica's dealing. Do you know, there was, like, it's shameful to say, there was times I was in my apartment with my mum and my 2 kids and my whole door came in on top of me, detectives.
Right.
And it was, I don't know, someone was looking down on top of me because I didn't have anything in my house, and they came, they searched, and I remember one of them just said to me, you were such a lovely girl. What are you doing?
Yeah. When did you ask yourself that question seriously? So when was the first time you thought, I need to stop this and I need to seek help?
When I was brought into hospital, I was hospitalised. I was about 6, maybe 6.5 stone. And I was so sick, I couldn't get up off the bed.
Because you're tall enough, girl. What are you, 5'5"?
Maybe, I don't know. 5'6",
yeah. So 6.5 stone, yeah.
And I was like... it was just nothing fit me. Size 4 clothes and they were hanging off me. My son's clothes I'd wear and they were still baggy on me. So when I was in hospital, I remember this lovely old fella came over to me and he actually blessed me and thought I wouldn't make it in hospital the next few days because it was blood. I was a different person.
Hmm.
But my mum came up with my sister and brought my kids up. And it was only when I was looking in their eyes, you could see it wasn't childhood. It was just black. They were like literally dead Like, it was weird. Do you know, when I looked at the rise, it was just, like, they were afraid, the Reverend, but it was just dead. It was like, they don't know, is Mammy coming home?
Mm.
Do you know that kind of way? They were going for my mum and my sister and just looking as if, like, it was like they're detached from me. Do you know, like, they weren't feeling, I'm your mother, and it was just weird what I saw in there. And I was like, I'm not doing this to them.
And of course, when we've established it already, that when you take heroin, it's to numb your own pain.
Yeah. And so now you're taking it again because my kids were living with my mother. She got guardianship. And then you're looking at bedrooms and they're empty. You're in an empty apartment. Yeah. And you're going, oh my God. So you're numbing it, but you're not numbing it.
Yeah.
Because you still wake up and you're still feeling crap. So... do you know what I mean? It's going around in a circle constantly.
Mm.
Constantly.
And some people never get out of that circle.
No.
But you managed to...
Yeah.
So it was that moment, 6.5 stone in a hospital bed.
Looking at my
looking
kids
at
crying.
Your children.
Yeah. Right.
You had to do something about it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It was the biggest wake-up call I think I've ever gotten.
I'd just spoken to people who'd got off heroin.
My brother.
Prior to that, right.
My brother was actually in Coomine. He came from the prison into Coomine. And he kept begging me to go in and told me, and I was so afraid of social workers. I was like, no, I can't do it, Tommy, I can't do it. And he goes, they help you, they work with women and kids. And the minute I heard that, it was like a weight was lifted off me, big time. I was like, oh my God.
And the fear was that a social worker might take your children
from me.
Because you're a drug addict.
You're looked down on. Mm. Heroin, like especially down home, is a big thing. You're just... there's not even a word for you. You're just looked and you're just looked away. Do you know that kind of way?
There is a hierarchy of drugs, isn't there, Pauline?
I guess we could say that.
If you hear somebody's taking cocaine, and then there's heroin, cannabis is sort of, it's all different opinions of people who take certain drugs.
We have alcohol.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah.
You know, and alcohol is a problem substance for many people throughout Ireland as well.
I see there was just figures out today.
Yeah.
That nearly 55,000 cases of problem alcohol are treated in Ireland over the last 7 years. I just say that.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there's a 50% increase in those cases that are noting cocaine use along with alcohol. And also that 1 in 10 are homeless.
Right.
You know, so these are showing the that fuller picture of the impact of addiction, problem, drug and alcohol use in Irish society today.
So Erica, when did you first encounter Erica, Pauline?
I say on a visit to Ashley House.
Yeah, yes.
As the chief executive of the organisation, I kind of dip in and out
of
services.
Yes, you wouldn't be hands-on.
I unfortunately don't do the hard work and the main work.
When you applied to get in, did you get in immediately?
I did 9 months of pre-entries.
Right. What's a pre-entry?
Pre-entry is you go up to Lord Edwards Street, you give your urine and you go upstairs and there's a group. The talk, you're meant to talk. And I found that very hard at the start, to say where you're at and try and get you into it. Lovely people make you feel so comfortable and at ease. And you keep going, you give your urines. I think it was 4 at the time you give, 4 cleans and you got in. And I always got to 3.
Right.
And then I take something and I slip again.
What was happening? What was happening in your head around then?
Oh, it was like I was travelling twice a week up from Galway, the Monday and the Friday. And I was like, okay, maybe I'd get away with just one more. Everything is one more because I did so well. One more. And one more is never enough. It's not.
No.
You're
I'm just going to do one more time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one more, you could be dead. Simple as that. You know what I mean? But you don't think of that.
So eventually you got 4 cleans.
I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, it's such a
And look,
a journey.
You're beaming now. Yeah. Just even thinking about it. You're beaming because...
so happy.
But it
so
can't have been easy.
Oh, my God, no. No, I ended up, before I came in, going on the methadone programme, which killed me because social workers thought again and everything. And with that, I was able to stay clean from heroin. And it was just after my mother got married that I got in. And it was just like, wow. It was, can't even explain it. It was just, wow. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's like a new job to someone, or it's just, all right, I get to start. I get to have my life back again. I get to be that old person. But you don't realise you're the old person plus 10 times better. in yourself when you're a complete athlete.
The person you used to be.
Yeah, but a lot better and happier.
Because you've been through this horrific hardship of drug addiction and you're out the other side.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So yeah, you skip on nicely from... Yeah. Like, how bad was it in there? Like,
people think that. You genuinely think it's a lot to come from your own home into Ashley House with new surroundings, pull-ups, being put into departments. Like, this is all alien.
Pull-ups?
Oh, it's just... If you're a cock cursing, I'm putting you up for your bad language.
Oh, pull-ups. Sorry, yes, pull-ups. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, it's all different. It's all different. Like, there's all these girls you don't know. I remember I'm coming in without my kids because they were too old.
Yes, and there are children there.
And then there's children there.
If you're under five, is it?
Yeah. That's right, under five.
Yeah, yeah.
So, pregnant or under five.
Credit where credit's due to the girls doing it in there with their kids because it's hard enough work on yourself.
Yeah.
But if I felt at ease straight away, the staff were lovely. You're given a big sister, the girls were all lovely, they made you feel welcome. It was like another family, you know, and after a few days, a few weeks, you learn everything, you click everything, and it's not as bad as you think. Mm. What's worse, being out in the street dead, no kids, still tapping or whatever people do for the drug, or giving yourself a chance.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's loads of people I met in pre-entries crying out to get into Ashley. And I got in there. So why wouldn't I give it my all?
And you did?
Yeah, 100%.
How long are you clean?
16 months.
Right. Well done.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Thank you.
Is there any yearning? Any?
Do you know what? No.
No.
Like, it comes to a point that if I know I'm getting a bit snappy at home or that I know my triggers now. Like, for instance, I went into the pub with my mother the other day. But I also knew after 40 minutes to get up and go.
Yes.
Because I didn't want to do that.
Yes.
So I'm aware of all my triggers and what...
You're sober completely, nothing.
No.
No. Because alcohol's dangerous, isn't it?
It is. And it often can be the gateway.
Yes.
Often it's maybe how drug use, problem substance use can start for someone, right? Or alternatively, it can.
Lapse.
Just a drink, it can lead to a lapse and a relapse.
Okay, so... Erica is living proof that Ashley House does amazing work.
Yeah.
There are how many women waiting to get into Ashley House?
Yeah. In 2018, there were over 32 women, many of them mothers. In 2019, now today, there's over 63.
Okay.
So it's a national service. It's the only one in Ireland and there's massive demand for it. As I said, the significant proportion are women. Many may be pregnant. As well, so there's a window of opportunity. So I guess we're seeking to put in place a second residential treatment facility for women and children in Ireland. Of those on that waiting list, about 33% are from the West, Midwest. So we are hoping to establish that somewhere in the Midwest, maybe Limerick.
Mm, because it's not practical. Like you just said that going from Galway to Dublin to get
to give your
urine.
Yeah.
And then there's temptation there. So what's your message then? Who are you pleading with?
Yeah, I guess we're pleading to government to make available the funding in order to put in place that second residential service. It would be a cost of about 1.6 million in order to put in place that second service. But I guess what we would see is that a treatment place in Coal Mine can be anything from 13,000 for a mother and child. It's 23,000 per year. So if we put that against the costs, right, of a prison placement, which is maybe 67,000 to 70,000, or indeed even foster care placements, into accident and emergency.
Yes.
And we look at all the other benefits.
Yeah.
It definitely makes sense.
Okay.
It definitely makes sense.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Erica, great to see you're so healthy.
Thanks.
And you're a sort of a walk-in ad for 100%. Ashley House, Coolmine's Ashley House. Pauline McKeown, Chief Executive of Coolmine Therapeutic Community, and Erica Pauline, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a bit of confusion over that contact for Coolmine. I'll give it to you one more time. This is definitive. info@coolminetc.ie. So it's info@coolminetc.ie. And we were talking to Jason Donovan in the first hour, and we got an interesting text there. My friend and I were in London in 89 and were lost as to what to do. So we saw Jason's video for Too Many Broken Hearts and couldn't get over the beauty of it, but didn't know where it was. We found out it was in Oz, went over for a year, and I ended up spending 15 years there, says that person. Now, Maggie Malloy joins us in studio. She has an Instagram account called Cheap Irish Houses. I'll say that again, get their attention. Cheap Irish Houses. You're very welcome to studio, Maggie. It starts with your story, really, doesn't it?
I suppose. Yeah. I suppose, yeah.
So you were in your 20s and you wanted to buy a house.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would have rented probably if the renting was kind of the market for renting in South Wicklow and North Wexford was good enough. But I thought, no, if I'm sensible, I need to buy somewhere. So right. I started looking for a house, and I had, because I was buying on my own, I only had a certain allowance. So I had like 110,000 was what they were going to give me.
What year was this?
2004, 2005.
Right. Okay, so, boomish time.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, started looking at places around Wexford, and I mean, they were astronomical, the prices. Like a small bungalow was 235,000. So like I wasn't getting anything. Even the derelict houses were 150. So I just kind of moved out county by county. I was like one county out first, and I was up in the mountains in like Mount Leinster and stuff, and then out another one. And then I was like, oh, feck it, I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to go out a bit further. And I went to Roscommon. And my father said, I'm never driving that far again in a car, because of course he brought me that day. But I loved it. I would have stayed there forever. But the house was 20,000 that I went to see. But so I ended up in Tipperary. Tipperary was kind of a happy medium, I think, for my family as well, because I was quite young and they were a bit nervous sending me off into the wilds. So I ended up in
Tipperary. How much did you pay for it?
80.
Right.
So it was on at 100 and I think I offered 70 and got it for 80. So I was delighted. So, and then I had the 110 in total. So I had a little bit left.
In what condition was it in?
Well, okay. So it had a roof and okay. It was dry. Like it was solid. The structure of the house was solid.
A big butt coming on here.
There was no windows. There was no front door. But like they're easy enough to replace. Like it's not a huge job to replace windows and a door. You're probably going to replace them anyway as you're upgrading the house. It had floors upstairs. Like it had physically had an upstairs. Yeah. Sometimes you go into
and
a house.
And you were in your early 20s, yeah. Maggie.
I do love old houses, in my defence. Right. I really, really do love old houses. I grew up in one. We went on our holidays to one when we were younger and our aunts. So it's totally normal for me. Like, to have cement floors in a house, it's not this thing where you go, I can't go into a house because there's no carpet down or there's no lino or anything, you know. It was just normal. Like my granny's house didn't have central heating when we went to see her when we were growing up, and it was still lovely and you were always warm and you know, it was always fun. So it wasn't that big of a stretch for me to move into a house like that.
Did people think you were daft?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say they did. Parents. So bad for them. Everyone did. And even nowadays you tell them you're living in Tipperary and they're like, why?
Come on. Tipperary is a lovely county.
Oh, it is. It is. But it's more the distance,
the distance
I think.
Away
they're
from...
like, because I work from home, so I could have lived anywhere I wanted to, technically. So they're like, what brought you to Tipperary? Like, because when they come to my house, even couriers will come to my house and they'll go, how on earth did you find this place? And I'm like, the internet. Like, the internet was around back then. You know, the websites weren't as fancy as they are now, but it was around, you know.
And I suppose they thought you were going to come back, you know, 2 months later.
It
was a terrible mistake. It was a terrible mistake. But you didn't. So you're there 15 years now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's lovely. Like, and I think that, you know, every house has its downsides. Like, you know, if I had moved into a housing estate house in one of the surrounding towns in Wexford, let's say, it's like in Ascarthy or even down to Wexford Town or something, like, I would have had a really, really high mortgage. I would have had to work longer hours. And like the downside of that, of course, is that you're not getting to spend time with your family. You're working to pay just to pay bills.
Yes.
And nothing else. Whereas with me, I had, when I got my house, my main plan was I need to be able to pay this mortgage if I'm on social welfare. So I don't want to lose my house.
How much do you pay a month?
Less than 300. So it's on a tracker. So it goes kind of up and down a little bit, you know, the ECB rate. So it's like goes from 240 to 280,
a
little bit higher. Yeah.
A month.
Between us now, because I have a husband, so he paid for it.
So you thought to yourself, I've you know, I've found out this secret and I want to share it with everybody else. So you set up Cheap Irish Houses Instagram account. So what do you do on that?
So I basically, if I see, I used to spend the evenings, like, well, not every evening, but if I had downtime, I'd like be looking on Daft or something like that and just go, God, there's so many cheap houses out there. Why are people complaining? Especially people like in rural areas, I'd be like, because I understand in Dublin, like there are issues with like people not being able to get to work and stuff. They can't all move to Mayo. But so I was there kind of thinking maybe other people might want to see these houses because they are out there, but people just aren't seeing them. And every time I tell people, they go, no, they're not out there. You were just really, really lucky. And I'm like, though, they're there. They are there. You just, maybe if I put them out there and got them all together, then by me looking through the listings and finding all the cheap houses and putting them at the forefront, instead of them being at the back of all of the promotional work, then maybe if I could save 10 people doing the same searches every night when they go home from work, wouldn't it be lovely to save people time doing that? I kind of thought, yeah, and I'll just do that. And I'll put them out there. And then just the feedback I got from people, I was like, maybe people actually don't know, again, don't know these houses are out
and
there.
And a lot or some of these houses wouldn't be put up on Daft?
No, a good few of them are. Even like, even if they're not on Daft or myhome.ie, which are the two biggest portals, obviously. Estate agents have websites, you know. I mean, they're not great on mobile devices sometimes to do searches on them, but they have websites, you know, so you can go and have a look. And, you know, sometimes estate agents in more rural areas won't put all their properties up on Daft in My Home because it costs them money to do this, and the cheaper properties, it's not going to be viable for them to be spending the listing fees on it. So when you go into their own little websites, you could find maybe 10 or 11 more houses.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an illustrator.
Oh, yeah. So you can do that from home.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And what about, seeing as they're all talk about broadband today, how is your broadband? And
my broadband is sufficient.
Right.
It's kind of akin to 90s dial-up, I like to tell people. It's grand. Like, I don't Skype with people. You know, that's not a thing I can offer clients when I work with them. And they're fine with that. And the work I do, there's not like these like last minute deadlines, you know, where I have to get stuff uploaded really, really quickly. I can be like, yeah, I'll deliver that Friday and I will have it emailed to somebody by Friday. But I mean, there's no, you wouldn't be rushing doing it.
No, okay. So you press send at midnight and it gets them when they're in work at 8 o'clock. Is that the way it goes?
Well, it's consistent. It's just slow. You know, so you mean you can't do anything that you need any kind of a low lag time on.
Yeah, I'm just looking at these now. So there's one for 29,000. Whereabouts is that? I can't read it. The writing's so small.
Oh, in Sligo.
In Sligo,
yeah.
29,000.
And that had 3.6 acres with it as well.
My word.
So.
And there's 55,000 there. Kilfenora, is it?
Oh, in County Clare.
Yes,
yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
That one was too, yeah.
You see, I think, unlike you, people probably don't have a penchant for old houses and they don't
maybe
like
so.
The thoughts of facing into a, you know, fixer-upper type situation. But you're looking now for people who are like you because you're making a TV programme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like that. I mean, it's not for everybody. Of course it's not for everybody, but if the people who would be willing to live in these houses that are falling apart and getting bulldozed and all that, if there were people willing to live in them, why are people not living in them? You know, it's not just that they're not for sale, because there's loads of them for sale.
Different times, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, but they are for sale. Like, and people, I think, I know when I moved, a lot of what made me decide to move to Tipperary and to buy a derelict house was necessity. Like, I could not afford to live at home. I'm a total homebird. I would have stayed in Wexford my whole life. I couldn't do it. There weren't them protections around for people living, you know, locally, where, you know, only the sites were available to local people. Like, that wasn't a thing when I was leaving. And I think people, when you're in a really bad situation with renting or trying to get a mortgage, you open your mind up, I think, a little bit more. Right. You go, I want to get into a house, and if this is a chance for you to get a house to raise your family in, I think you might be more open to it.
So is the programme going to be called Cheap Irish Houses?
So far.
Right. Okay.
Hopefully.
And you're looking for people to take part in Cheap Irish Houses?
Yeah, I'd like people.
What's the ceiling of the budget?
I wouldn't want to go over 150,000, including renovations.
Okay.
So, because I think on top of that, you might as well be on Dermot Bannon's show.
Their renovations are over. Some of them are touching 400,000, aren't they?
Yeah, but they all don't start out like that, though, either.
No, they don't. Don't. So, 150,000 including renovation costs. And you're hoping to get people who are willing to do this?
Yeah, I think people who are sick of paying high rents in cities and are maybe already originally from rural areas and were planning on going back, but they haven't gotten onto the property ladder like they thought they would in cities. And they're like, well, instead of me moving back like to Galway in 10 years time, maybe I'll go now. Maybe yes. I'll bring my family back earlier than I thought. You know, and there are people even, to be honest, in rural areas who don't know these houses are available in the rural areas, you know? So you can be from Tipperary and not know that there's a €25,000 house down the road. Like, there's one down the road from me for €25,000 and it has been for sale for, God, I'd say at least 6 years.
Right.
You know?
And from your work and your Instagram account, you know that they're out there.
Yes.
You're confident.
Totally.
Yeah. So cameoproductions.submit.com and that'll get you. So cameoproductions.submit.com. And Maggie is looking for people to take part in cheap Irish houses. This could change your life. It changed yours.
Totally.
And you only got a built-in kitchen this year.
Yeah.
15 years on.
I had a kitchen, like, you know? Built-in kitchen's not for everyone. But no, I had a lovely one. I had a lovely big Belfast sink unit and I had a big Irish dresser that I had gotten given and it fitted the place perfectly. Yeah. Like, you know, I didn't have mouse-proof presses, but that's fine. I had a dishwasher. Like, I had my priorities in place, But, yeah, fitted kitchen now this year.
And you're sharing the mortgage now with Jay. You're...
Yeah. So €140 each. A max. Yeah. No fighting over that at all. No stress.
Oh, yeah. But you have to live where you live, which I've read is 2.5 hours from most places.
Well, yeah, it's 2.5 hours from home in Wexford. It's two and a half hours from here today. Then, you know, I don't come to Dublin that often. You know, I think once you move outside of Leinster, Dublin isn't the city that you have to go to for big things. You know, I go to Limerick. I would have never even thought Limerick was a large city until I moved down. I was totally naive, you know. Mm. And now they go, oh, did you go to Limerick shopping for Christmas or did you go to Cork? People down there don't even think about Dublin ever.
And people can go to your Instagram account, Cheap Irish Houses, if they want to see what's out there for under 100,000, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, I cap it at 100,000.
Oh, you cap it at, okay.
Just for that, yeah, for that. I do, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not cheap, really. Yeah.
Good luck with the programme. It's been a real pleasure meeting you. That's Maggie Malloy, 51551, Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There's a couple of charity calendars for you. Kilkee Sub Aqua Club in County Clare have a calendar for sale to help raise funds for their search and rescue unit. It features wonderful underwater photos taken by the club divers themselves in some of the best diving sites off the West Coast, available to buy in most West Clare shops. And the charity calendar for It's Good to Talk in Wexford, 8 beautiful scenes from the sunny southeast captured during Art in the Open International Air Festival this year. It's stunning and all proceeds go to charity, says Alma. Don't forget to mention the beautiful Down Syndrome calendar, only available in Dunn stores. That's from Raid. And thank you for mentioning our Donkey Sanctuary Ireland 2020 calendar on your show. Come and visit us sometime to meet wonderful donkeys like Beauty and Bella. And that's down in Liscarroll near Mallow in County Cork. Now, we're still on animals. Samantha Rawson, the dog expert, joins us in studio. Good to see you, Samantha.
Thank you, Ray. Good to see you too.
Yeah, so the dog expert, that's your new name.
Well, it's what I am.
Yes, yeah. Now, this is a long one. It comes in from Diane. So we'll start with this one. Hi, Ray team and Samantha. I have 4 female dogs, 3 neutered, 1 not neutered yet. Around 2 to 3 months ago, we rescued a male dog from a bad situation. We got him neutered. He's an absolute charmer and a beauty. The problem is, he gets on great with 3 of our female dogs, but one of them, she's also neutered, he keeps on going for her. There seems to be no rhyme nor reason as to what sets him off. He's an African bully and she's a Newfoundland...
American bully.
Sorry, what did I say? African. Mm. American bully and she is a Newfoundland lancer. Without a shadow of a doubt, she would kill him, but she holds back. We now have to keep them separated in different rooms and when they go outside, one has to be put into an outdoor caged run. Please advise if there's anything I can do to get them to get on with each other. I'm so used to having all my dogs running around me, I don't like having to separate any of them. I did think of rehoming him, but we all love him and there were tears and tantrums when it was suggested. And that was just the husband. Never mind the kids.
Okay.
Please advise, Diane.
Hi, Diane. Well, just because you are a dog lover doesn't mean your dogs all love each other. So it's a very kind of dynamic situation that the dog has only arrived 2 to 3 months in the household. Now, that's a very short time for relationships to establish. So I would always give breathing space. I mean, I myself have 7 dogs, but I didn't all, you know, I didn't bring them all in on top of one another. And when you're bringing a new dog in, you've got to give the already resident dogs time and space to get used to the newcomer.
Uh-huh.
So you can't expect friendships to suddenly bond and them all to get along. And there's obviously I would almost need to see this in action. But there's personalities. Dogs have personalities. And I don't know the personality of the dog he seems to go for. She also might remind him of a dog that he knew in a former life. You know, we don't know anything about his background.
Oh, yeah. No, not reincarnation.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
There is that too, right? Yeah. There is that too. Yeah. But no, he might have had a history with a similar looking dog,
yes,
or a similar dog of the same personality. So I would think it's slightly too much to expect the dogs to all get along in
so
such a short period of
then?
Time. The advice is keep the newcomer away, not out of sight, but maybe, you know, behind the dog run or the barricade, and let them get used to each other slowly. And if the dogs are together, you have to ignore everybody. Most dog fights happen in multi-dog households over attention from the owner.
Right.
So when they're all together, if Diane is out in the yard with all of them, ignore everybody. Because the dog fight could be that the female approaches Diane, the new guy, the American bully, says, hang on a second, I don't like you getting the attention. I might just tell you to back off. So
there's
maybe,
jealousy.
Jealousy, yeah. Yes. So maybe be a bit aware of that. But I think it's very early days and I would give them time and space.
OK, good luck with that, Diane. Ger says, just wondering if I could ask your dog expert what to do about my 1.5-year-old Terrier Cross. She barks relentlessly when I'm on the phone, both incoming and outgoing calls. Thanks very much. Regards, Ger. It's not funny.
I love the clarification, both outgoing and incoming calls.
As if they know.
I suppose the thing is, if you wanted to train that, Ger, you have to pretend, maybe get somebody to ring you and get them to hang up and pretend that you're on the phone and let her bark relentlessly without you reacting in any way, shape or form.
Uh-huh.
Because she's learned that you react because you're embarrassed and because you have to do something about it. So you always react. So I would stage a false phone call and wait it out if you have the patience.
Very good advice.
Otherwise, put her out. You know, as soon as the phone goes, put her out.
Because she's getting attention from you. That's
yeah,
why
she
realises.
Some dogs are very clever and she realises that if you're otherwise engaged, she's not going to get any attention.
Okay, good luck at that, Ger. And we might ring you tomorrow and see how you're getting on. My sister has a 1-year-old Capuchin, is it?
Capuchin, yeah.
And she barks at everyone except the family when anyone visits their house. When I visit the house, the dog will bark whilst staying away from me. The dog is quite a nervous dog too. The strange thing is that the dog likes me to chase it around the garden, but will always stay at arm's length and would never let me near her. Nobody outside of the family can get close to her. Can
okay,
you help?
So the game of chasing reinforces the running away behaviour. So that's quite interesting that she enjoys that game because that reinforces something that she likes to do already, which is to run away because she's nervous. This is something that I say to all dog owners, regardless of whether the dog is confident or nervous. When people come into your house, put the dog away. It's really important for a nervous dog because if you think about it, when somebody walks into your house, you've walked into the dog's area and you're encroaching on them. And when they're nervous, they've nowhere else to go.
Mm.
They think they're quite safe sitting in their kitchen and in walks a stranger. So they react badly. So I always say when somebody comes, if you know they're coming, put the dog away in the kitchen, bring the person into the sitting room, give them a cup of tea, whatever, wait for 20 minutes and then bring the dog in. So that changes the whole dynamic. It gives the dog time to calm down. It lets the dog realise that people aren't there to encroach on their space. And again, it's the thing with dogs is it's time and it's space.
Yes. Treat them like humans, I suppose, in a way.
Well, a little bit.
A little bit. Liz says, can you ask your dog expert, that's you, Samantha,
Thank you.
On how to handle and train a very, very anxious dog. I rescued her from a car park. She was starving. Since then, she's had a great life, but still very anxious. She whines if she can't see me and any small noise, she runs in fright. I just want to give her more confidence in her life. She's a pointer cross large dog. Liz.
Okay, so Liz doesn't say how long she's had this dog. I think sometimes we have to accept the personality and the foibles of our dogs and some things you're never going to overcome. So that might be the case here if you're prepared to live with it and she's obviously a lovely dog and you love her, it's all grand. If she's anxious, what you could do is is kind of teach her to be a little bit away from you, or maybe sit in a car beside you, or sit on, you know, a park bench on a lead beside you without responding to her anxiety. Because again, if she's anxious and she whines and Liz always responds, then that behaviour is constantly being reinforced. And sometimes with anxious dogs, now she might be kind of an older dog and beyond the point of rehabilitating at this stage, but sometimes anxiety is reinforced. Like I myself have a Shepherd Cross at home and he's a bit of a Scooby-Doo. And we're at the stage now that if I constantly respond to him, I'll make him a nervous ninny.
Right.
So there's some things in life you just have to get on with. So you kind of say, unless she's absolutely terrified and is about to put herself in
don't
danger,
go near her.
Let her whine. Yeah. She needs to be able to
okay,
express it.
I'm going
to
abuse my position. A quick one. Our golden retriever.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely dog. Four and a half. I bring him out running every morning. It's great. But when we bring him for a walk on a Sunday, if he encounters a pup.
Right.
He's aggressive.
Okay.
And that's the only time he shows any sign of aggression.
Okay. So on a Sunday, obviously, it's a bit like Sunday drivers. Everybody's out with their, their dogs. And he's used to going for a run with you and without having to deal with all this nonsense on a Sunday.
Yes.
So he probably is walking around the park going, oh, for God's sake, the Sunday dogs are out.
Right. And he's just intolerant, isn't
he? Yeah, he's intolerant. And puppies have boundless energy. And for an older, mature, sensible retriever, they're just irritating. It's
right.
Just like, I don't want to talk to you. I'm sorry. I'm a mature male retriever. I don't have time for this.
And he's probably annoyed with me as well.
Well, he's not, right? No, he has a great life. You bring him running every day. Yeah. What more could he want?
Yeah. So that's it. He's just peed off.
Yeah, well, he's intolerant. Who wants to be around a puppy?
Right. So straightforward, you can't do anything about that, really.
You can, but I would introduce him to maybe older dogs and work your way down. It's a bit like if you're introducing a dog to children. You work with older children and work your way down.
Right. Samantha Rawson, you can get Samantha on Facebook. She is our dog expert. Thanks so much. And sorry to people whose problems we didn't get to. Thanks very much, Samantha. That's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow. Catherine's back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.